Hey, this is Phil Canizo, lead pastor at Hope City Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. My prayer is that this helps and encourages you, gives you some practical ways to live out your faith, and ultimately fills you with hope. Enjoy the message.
Hey there, thanks for tuning in with us. It's so great to have you online. You know, the other day I was driving and I came across a car where two people were clearly annoyed with another driver on the road in front of them. And it was at first a little comical as I'm watching this, and in my head I'm like, okay, chill guys, it's okay, it's not that big of a deal. But then things seemed to escalate quickly. They got more angry, the driver in front of them became more belligerent, and you could see and you could just feel the tension. And as I'm watching this going on, I'm thinking, man, doesn't it seem today more than ever, little things set people off? I mean, you just have to look at your news feed, or you just have to turn on the TV to see political parties that are at massive odds with each other, and the disagreements between them are only getting worse. Even now, there are some people with some really strong opinions in how to handle COVID. There's those that think everyone should not leave the house, to those that think our freedom is being infringed upon. And I want to say this, by the way, as Christians, we are encouraged in Scripture to pray for our government. So can I say this? During these days, please pray for God's wisdom to be upon our government. Man, our province is surging with cases right now, and our leaders, they need to make decisions for millions of people. And so what we can do is we can pray for them. And I thought about this, like, there are times in this COVID season where I get stressed making decisions for thousands of people in our church. I can only imagine what it's like for millions. So church, let's do our part, let's pray for them, let's help bend the curve, and let's say, God, help us through this. But you know, everywhere I look, it seems like little things just set us off. And I think it's because we're lacking something in our lives. We're lacking something in this world. You want to know what that is? It's peace. You know, today is the second Sunday of Advent, and Advent is a Christian tradition where we celebrate the four Sundays before Christmas, each Sunday having a theme to remember. Most circles would agree that the idea celebrated on this day is peace. And more than ever, our world needs peace. And really, there are two kinds of peace, maybe three if you include, like, peace out, bro. But one kind of peace is between nations and people. The examples I gave earlier speak to this. Another kind of peace is peace in our own heart. A calm in the middle of everything that we're facing and everything that we're dealing with. Whether it's COVID, loneliness, fear of the future, our next, or maybe it's even just kids being homeschooled again. We need an internal peace to walk through this all. But a lot of people today, they're lacking peace. They can't find peace, and that's why the little things set us off. We're in a series discovering who God is. And I feel like this is a very important and timely series for us, because how we view God ultimately translates into how we relate to God. This is a series on theology, which is the study of God as he is revealed in the Bible. And we can't base our knowing of God on our perspective only. Like, we can't make up God in our own image, hoping we've got it right. We have to see him for who he really is and for how he has revealed himself. And today I want us to look at a characteristic of who God is. One that brings the peace we all need, want, and are craving for. And I want to take us to the first book of the New Testament. It's called Matthew, and I want to read from chapter 1. Now, just so you know, Matthew was someone who initially appeared to be the furthest person who would follow and even be used by Jesus. He was a tax collector turned disciple. Someone who went from living a crooked life to someone who straightened out his life. And after Jesus left the earth, he wrote an account of Jesus' life. And in his first chapter, he gives the historical lineage of Jesus. He gives proof, generation by generation, that the prophecies that were told about the coming Messiah, meaning Jesus, were all legit and true. He gives the proof that Jesus was a descendant of David. And then he goes on to describe the birth of Christ. He talks about how there was this woman named Mary, and she was a virgin who became pregnant through the Holy Spirit. She was engaged to a guy named Joseph. And when Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant, he decided to divorce her. Because, well, obviously, she wasn't as into him as he thought. And so Joseph was ready to bail on this marriage. And we know that would have been a hard decision for him to make. It would have been heart-crushing. But right before that could happen, an angel appeared to Joseph. And he tells him that what Mary is saying is legit, and he even talks about the son to be born. He says he will be called Jesus, and he will save his people from their sins. And then we read this. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And just so you know, the prophet that Matthew is referencing here is a guy named Isaiah. Just over 700 years earlier, he said these words. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. Okay, just to remind you, a prophet was someone who spoke to the people on behalf of God. Isaiah prophesies that someone called Emmanuel will be born, and he will be God with us. He will be God with the people. Now, imagine at that time how Israel would have responded to this. You know, they were living in difficult times. They were in tough situations, and they would have been, this is great. They would have heard it and thought, this is awesome. God's going to send a deliverer. God has heard our cry. God will see us through this mess that we're in. Little did they know it would be 700 years before it actually happened. 700 years. That's decades and centuries of people saying, okay, God promised the Messiah. Emmanuel is going to come onto the scene. It's going to happen. And generation after generation, they would hear this. They would be expecting his coming, but they wouldn't be seeing or experiencing it. It sounds a lot like the second coming of Christ, doesn't it? We know Jesus is coming back. Christianity claims this. He himself said this, and we're living 2,000 years beyond that promise, and each generation passes and says the same thing. Jesus is coming soon. And sometimes, the longer it goes, the harder it is to believe. And that's how it was at the first coming of Jesus. Like, the prophecy was said, but it wasn't until 700 years later that it happened. So hope for Emmanuel wasn't that high at the time of Joseph and Mary. Trust in this old prophecy that by now felt a little bit like a tale wasn't huge. Anticipation had waned and life was just hard. In fact, the last words that the people had from a prophet before Jesus came were 400 years earlier. These were from the prophet called Malachi. And it almost seemed like God was just silent and he had peaced out. The promises of a coming Savior, they seemed hollow. The potential seemed hopeless, and the reality seemed a little bit like a fairy tale. And it's in that context that Joseph hears about Mary. He encounters an angel, and he learns about Jesus. It's in that context God is finally showing up. Emmanuel is coming. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And ever since then, human beings have had the same promise. Emmanuel, God is with us. God is with you. It was actually at that moment the promise given through the prophet Isaiah was fulfilled. In one of the darkest times of Israel's life, in one of the most difficult seasons, God shows up and says, I am with you. But really, this is nothing new for God. It's what he has been doing all along. The coming of Jesus was really the epitome, or maybe the climax of that promise. Because around 1,400 years earlier, God appeared to a guy named Moses in a burning bush, and he commissioned him to lead Israel out of Egypt. And as you can imagine, Moses felt completely inadequate for the job. And he says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And listen to what God says to Moses. He says this, I will be with you. And then God stayed true to his word. We read this a little bit later. By day, the Lord went ahead of them, and them being the Israelites, in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. I will be with you. Emmanuel, God with us. And here's what I want you to understand. What this means for you today. Two things. Firstly, God with us means rescue. I mean, listen to what the angel underscored to Joseph when he appeared to him. He said this, she will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because why? He will save his people from their sins. Jesus came as God incarnate with a mission. And that mission was to save humanity. It was God's solution to the separation that existed between God and us, the separation caused by our sin. And it was God's love that drove this. I mean, John, he was a disciple of Christ, and he said it this way. For God so loved the world that, what did he do? He gave his only son that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God with us screams, I will do anything to rescue you. It declares, I sent my son to be born, but ultimately to die on a cross, to take on your sin, to take on the sin of the entire world, to die a brutal death, but then to be raised to life 3 days later in a beautiful resurrection. I actually like how Paul, he's a New Testament writer, I like how he says it, and he wrote this in a book to Christians in Rome. He said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is really what Jesus did for us, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. God's rescue means salvation for all, including me and including you. And if by chance you have not made that decision to follow Jesus, you know, to believe, don't let this Christmas pass you by. Following Jesus is the best decision you can make. And the message of Emmanuel, the message of God with us says, I came to rescue you from death to life, from broken to whole, from searching to found, from alone to together. I am always with you until the very end of the age. That's Jesus' promise to you. And so if you haven't made that choice, hear me out, man. I believe that you're not tuning in by chance today. God drew you here. He knew you needed to be here right now. And I'm encouraging you to listen to that still small voice inside of you and follow through with your best decision. And at the end of my talk today, I'm going to help you do that. So firstly, God with us means rescue. Secondly, God with us means relationship. It means God does life right alongside of us. It becomes a relationship that continues to grow, evolve, move, and expound. It means that God will not leave, forsake, or fail his people, no matter how desperate conditions get. We know that God is with us. He is right there alongside of us. And we would all say this season of COVID, it's been tough. We're moving into 9 months, and it doesn't appear like we're going to be out of it anytime soon. In fact, it just seems to be escalating, and it's really longer than any one of us wished or expected. And I've talked to those of you who feel so lonely during these days. I've talked to those of you who feel super anxious. I've talked to those of you who are fearful for what is to come. I've wrestled with the nuances of what this means for end time prophecies as the Bible gives us. And that can get trippy and real very quickly. And I've talked with those of you who feel frustrated with the sense of a loss of freedom. And church, listen, in spite of all those things, God is with us. God is with you. He walks right beside you during this season. He sticks closer than a brother. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He is who he says he is, Emmanuel, God with us. And the world may feel out of control, but he is still in control. The world may seem hopeless, but he is the one filled with hope. The world is changing, but he is the one who never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that God, that Lord, that Jesus, that Savior, that Redeemer, that King, he is not far off. No, he is with you. The God of the universe came to this earth for you, and he is with you even now. And you might be walking through the valley of the shadow of death. I mean, just this past week, we had a family in our church lose their mom and wife to cancer. That's hard. It's difficult. It's nothing none of us want. But listen, even in the valley of the shadow of death, God is there. The writer of Psalms says it this way: even though I walk through the darkest valley, the roughest time, the hardest time, I will not fear, or I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Friend, God is with you. You might be in the wilderness right now. By the way, did you know that all through Scripture, the wilderness is used as a metaphor for a barren place, a dry place, a place where you feel alone? And like Israel was when they were in the wilderness for 40 years, you might feel like you're just wandering, like you're stuck, like you're not sure how you're going to get out. And I want you to know God sees you. He knows all that you are facing. And what I find kind of interesting is that many times the wilderness actually comes after a mountaintop experience. It happened with Jesus. He was baptized, and the next thing we know, the Spirit sends him into the wilderness. It happened with another guy, a prophet named Elijah. This guy, he had an amazing mountaintop experience, a showdown between himself and some false prophets of Baal. It was really a contest to see whose God is real. And God shows up in a crazy, miraculous way. You can actually read about this in 1 Kings chapter 18 in the Old Testament. Things are awesome for Elijah. He's on top of the world, but he literally goes from a massive high to a massive low. He defeats the false prophets, and everyone's like, yay for Elijah, your God is the one true God. And then this woman named Jezebel was so mad at what happened that she sent word to Elijah that by tomorrow he will be dead. Now you would think, okay, Elijah would kind of be, whatever. God is in control. He's with me. In fact, Jezebel's husband was King Ahab, and he had been going after Elijah for years and years and years, and it didn't seem to bother him at all. But as soon as a woman got mad, Elijah got scared. There might be something in that. I'm not sure there. But in his fear, he runs about 100 miles to get away from this angry woman, and he ends up running into the wilderness. He's all alone, he's scared, he's hurting, and he's desperate. And then he prays something that I think a lot of us have prayed before. He said the words so many of us have felt at some point in our lives, maybe even over these past 9 months. He said this: I've had enough, Lord. I've had enough. I just can't take it anymore. How many of you have said this? Like, I'm done. I'm spent. I've had enough. I can't take it anymore. This COVID thing is so hard. I'm so done. You know, some of you, you're in a work situation where things finally just broke, and now you're out of a job. Some of you, you're financially hurting, and you can't make any progress. You feel like you finally get a break, but then your car breaks down, and you just can't seem to make ends meet. Some of you, your kids are at home and you're trapped in the house and it's hard and it's tiring. You're trying to raise the young ones. You're trying to homeschool the others. And in the midst of this, your two-year-old then puts a tic-tac up his nose and you're going to the emergency room to get it removed. And you feel like, what is this, God? I can't take this anymore. You feel overwhelmed. You've had enough. And truthfully, it's the smallest things that throw us. You work hard, you serve faithfully, you make everybody the greatest meal ever, you put it on the table, it's made with love, they eat it in 30 seconds, they all leave the dishes at the table, and so you turn into Jezebel. You say, I'm going to kill somebody by this time tomorrow, everyone who ate my food will be dead if this house isn't cleaned up. It just throws you over. Anyone with me on this? You know, Henry Cloud, he's a Christian psychologist, and he was talking to a group of leaders that were experiencing kind of the same thing. Really what many of you may be experiencing right now. They were all talking about how tired they were. And Dr. Cloud said, for most of you, you're probably misdiagnosing your challenge. You may be misdiagnosing what your real need is. Most of you are not tired, because if you were tired, you could take a nap and that would solve your problem. You're not in need of physical rest as much as you are in need of spiritual replenishment. You're not just tired, but you're spiritually depleted. And I think this is going to speak to somebody today. You're not just tired. You're not just overwhelmed. What you need is an encounter with the very real and the very holy presence of God. What you need is an intimate moment where you experience the grace, the goodness, the loving kindness, the mercy and the peace of the presence of God. You need spiritual replenishment. In fact, that's actually what Elijah needed as well. Remember Elijah? He's tapping out in the wilderness, right? And then God comes alongside of him and he replenishes him with food and tells him to go to the mountain of the Lord where he wants to meet with him. So Elijah eats and heads to the mountain of God, which is called Mount Horeb. He gets there after walking 40 days. Yeah, 40 days. You thought 5K on your treadmill was bad, okay? But upon arriving, God says to him, go stand on the mountain. And Elijah's thinking, this is what I need. I need God's presence. I'm scared for my life. I'm tired. God's going to reveal himself to me. I need replenishing. And so God tells him he's about to pass by. And some of you know this incident. At first, there's a great and powerful wind that tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. And Elijah's thinking, okay, God's got to be in this. But the scripture says the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was an earthquake. Surely God is in the shaking of the ground. Surely he's in the earthquake. But he wasn't in that either. After the earthquake came a fire, and Elijah would have thought, just as the burning bush was not consumed in the presence of Moses, God is coming in the fire, but he wasn't in that either. But after the fire came a gentle whisper. The earth shook, and God wasn't in the shaking of the ground. The wind raged, and God was not in the wind. The fire burned, and God was not in the fire. Earth, wind, and fire. You see what God did right there, right? And for those of you born in the 70s, you get what I mean. The rest of you are going, I'm not sure about that. You see, God was not in the remarkable. God was in the ordinary whisper. And do you ever wonder, when life is difficult, why God's voice is so quiet? Why he's so gentle? Why his voice is so still and small? Why, if God wants us to hear him, why does he whisper? Like, why doesn't he shout? I'll tell you why. God whispers because he's close. Because he's right there with you. Because he is Emmanuel, God with us. He whispers because he's near. You see, the devil has to shout his lies, but God whispers his truth. He draws you close and says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I've been with you every single moment, and I love you more than you can imagine. When you hurt, I hurt with you. When you're in the valley, I'm there with you. When you're in the wilderness, I'm right beside you. He whispers because he's there. He's Emmanuel, God with us. And God spoke to Elijah and brought peace to his situation. Peace between himself and Jezebel, and peace in his own heart as well. This settling down, this calming. Hope City, at Christmas we celebrate that Jesus came. God incarnate showed up on earth to illustrate and to emphasize that he reached out through history to his creation to say, I love you so much that I'm sending you my son so that you may know beyond a shadow of a doubt, whatever you're walking through and whatever situation you may be in, I am Emmanuel. I am with you. And that means I can rescue you. And that means I want a relationship with you. I actually love how Jesus said it. He said, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest meaning peace. Rest meaning freedom from any constraints, not just now or in the past, but in the future as well. And friends, I'm so glad we don't have to wait 700 years for this promise to be true. Emmanuel has come. That means rescue. That means relationship. That means whatever you are facing today, you can know God is with you. And so may you hear his whisper today. May you hear his voice quietly speaking into your life. I am with you. Let me pray for you. God, I thank you for this life-giving promise that you are with us no matter what it is that we are walking through. And these days, there's a lot of things that a lot of us are facing. These days, there's a lot of hopelessness. And yet, in the midst of that, we understand that you walk with us through the valley, through the wilderness. And God, I just pray that we understand that we can walk in that relationship with you. We can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that whatever goes before us, whatever lies ahead of us, God, you are there and you are with us, but you're not far off. You stick closer than a brother. And so today, I pray that whoever is watching right now, that they may just sense your presence, sense your nearness, sense your voice, sense your arms of love saying, I've got this, I've got you, walk with me, listen to me, hear my voice, understand and know that I am with you. I pray for encouragement. I pray for hope. I pray for just a calmness and a peace that passes understanding over minds and hearts today, because we know that we don't go at this life alone, but we go at it with you. And I thank you for that. You know, one of the reasons Jesus came, and I said earlier, was to rescue us, was to give us salvation. And you might be here watching and you're saying, I don't know Jesus personally, but as you were talking about that rescue, I want to know him personally. This is my moment. This is my time where I make the decision to follow Jesus. I surrender my life to him. And from this day forward, I want to know what it means to walk in relationship with him. And if that's you, I'm going to pray a prayer. It's not a magic prayer. It's just a prayer that helps you put words to starting a journey with Christ. And I'm going to ask you to pray along with me. Let's pray. Jesus, I'm here right now, and I thank you for rescuing me. I thank you for coming to this earth, for dying on the cross and rising again, for forgiveness of my sins so that I can have a reset and a new life. And so today I surrender myself to you. I give you all that I am. I ask you to come into my heart and life, and I ask from this day forward that I may follow you and know you. And so God, be Lord and leader of my life, and I just surrender myself to you. Lord, I also want to pray for every individual, for every couple, and for every family that's tuned in right now. I ask that as they go into this day and into this week, may they walk in the fullness, in the confidence, and in the assurance of God with us, Emmanuel. I pray strength, wisdom, guidance, protection, and blessing upon them in the powerful name of Christ. Amen.